Good morning, everyone. Feels like I'm a visiting speaker today. It's good to be back again, so it is with Gail and myself. But before we get into the Word, I'd like to thank everyone for your concern and for your prayers over the last few weeks. It's now about almost 3 weeks since Gail fell and injured her hip and her leg. And thank the Lord that there were no breaks, no fractures, nothing like that. But perhaps there's a lot of bruising there. And it's a day at a time. We live a day at a time right now, so we do, and things are looking up and things are looking good. You know, when I took that degree course in domestic engineering, I wonder where I'd use it, but certainly it came handy during the past few weeks, and well, thank you all for it, and for the beautiful floral arrangement that came from the chapel. It came this week, and it's blooming nicely, and we're thankful for it, so thank you again for your prayers and your concern. Let's turn our Bibles this morning to Luke's Gospel. Now, I know it's tomorrow, 4 weeks is Christmas, but we're going to read this as a basis for probably some of the thoughts this morning, and we'll end up looking at it in more detail. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, and of course, is the Christmas story. And it said, and it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This sentence first took place while Cyrenius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, every one to his own country. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, it's called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his approved wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord, of the glory of the Lord, stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all things that they had heard and seen, as it was told to them. I know the Lord will add a blessing to this word that we've taken from his word today. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful today for the opportunity given to us to turn once again to your precious word, a word which is able to make us wise unto salvation and even is profitable for many things in our lives of those of us who are believers. You've given to us, our Father, because it is your final revelation to this world. And in the beginning, God made the world, and the Word was with God, we read in the Bible. But also, Father, we realize that in the last days, Christ, you have spoken to us through your beloved Son. And so, our God, we ask today that you be with us. We thank you indeed for all who are here. And then remember some who are not here, that you be with them as well. Father, thank you once again for your great love, wherewith you loved us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Bless our time together, we pray. Close it with yourself, and may indeed the Spirit of God be our teacher today. And may he, as you have promised, glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, because we ask it in his name alone. Amen. Saturday, October the 7th, 2023, will go down in history as the most horrendous day in the nation of Israel. Israel had just finished the Feast of Tabernacles, which ended on October 6th. Perhaps many people that night went to bed. They had been rejoicing and remembering the deliverance from Egypt, as remembered Sukkot, or the Sabbath, or the booths, as it's called in many places. But early on the 7th of October, something horrendous happened, as we all know. One writer put it like this, he said, on October 7th, Hamas launched a massive military operation into Israel territory. The shooting of thousands of rockets into Israel was followed by an attack by land, air, and sea, with fighters penetrating deep into territory under Israeli control. They attacked military installations and temporarily took over various settlements. The death toll among Israelis has exceeded 1,200, including more than 120 soldiers. Dozens of Israeli hostages were also taken into the Gaza Strip. We know, of course, that during that day, men, women, and children were slaughtered. People were taken hostage into Gaza, where many of them are today. And it's good to see some of them being released. But this writer went on to say the planning of the operation took somewhere between a few months and 2 years, per different accounts from Hamas leaders. He said the depth and magnitude of the attack were unprecedented. That meant it had never happened before and took Israel by surprise. The nation of Israel has admitted that they were unprepared for this attack. It was the Sabbath following the Feast of Tabernacles, and they felt that they could not be attacked on the Sabbath or any Sabbath at all. But these people came against them. They are unprepared. Another account said the attack was unexpected. And as I thought of that and think of the things happening around us, think of that suddenly. Their lives were changed. Suddenly, the nation of Israel was changed. The world was changed. Suddenly, something happened to many, many people. And we think of that word suddenly, it simply means happening quickly, unexpected, without warning. The people had gone to bed on the night of the 6th of October. And then approximately at 6:30 in the morning in the kibbutz, without warning, these people came and they slaughtered men, women, and children. They took some hostage. But you know, as we think of that, I'm sure that many of us, if not all of us, can look back in our lives, and we have had that recently, of course, where we might say, I didn't see that happening in our lives. I didn't expect that. And then we've heard, of course, and some people say, after it happens, you never know. And isn't that true in life? As from day to day, we never know what will happen. But this morning, as we're gathered together, as that hymn puts it, we know who holds the future for those who are believers. But just for a few moments this morning, I'd like to take the opportunity of looking at some events in the Bible which happened suddenly, which happened without warning, which happened quickly, which happened unexpectedly. The first one we'd like to turn to this morning is in Acts chapter 16. There we read the story of Paul and Silas, starting at verse 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, waking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoner had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for you are all here." And he called for a light, ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And so they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. Then he spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in the house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed his stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced having believed in God with all his household. As we consider the context of this story in Acts of the Gospel, Paul and Silas were in prison. They were chained. It was midnight, and the sound of singing came from the prison cells. Paul and Silas, in the midst of all their troubles, they were still praising God. He said the other prisoners were listening. That was nice, wasn't it? In that prison, in the dungeons there was Paul and Silas. They were singing hymns and songs. And the prisoners around them, they were listening. Away from the prison, the jailer and his family, they were sound asleep. He had left them for the night. He had gone back to his home, and his family had gone to bed. Then we read, suddenly the whole situation changed. Unexpectedly and without warning, suddenly there was a great earthquake. So the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loose. And we go to the sailor's house and he listens and he hears the sound. And there's a sudden despair in his life. We find it was the same was so great that he was about to take his own life. Because he knew if he walked down to that prison and all the prisoners had gone, he knew that death met him because of his lack of watch. He drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But you know, as we look at this story, we find that night there was a great awakening. There was a physical awakening. There was a spiritual awakening. Paul assured him, he said, don't be afraid because all are here. We're all safe and nobody has escaped. And then Paul turns around and the jailer says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? See, in his dismay, in the state of which all hope is lost, as it were, for him, and all hope was absent, Paul asked him a spiritual question. No doubt there's a physical question that everyone is safe. But sure, what's not said to be saved? Paul's answer, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will be saved, and both you and your household. They had to believe also. Asleep but awakened to his need and saved. But you know, as I read this story, I asked myself the question, why did the Lord send an earthquake to the jail that day? You know, he could have quietly unlocked the chains of Paul and Silas. He could quietly have opened the doors before them, as he did with Peter just a few chapters earlier. Peter was in prison, and said the angel of the Lord came. He unloosed the chains of Peter. He opened the doors slowly, and the doors actually opened by themselves, quietly. Why did he send the earthquake? One suggestion I'd like to make today is he sent the earthquake, the jailer and his family would be saved. There's a sudden despair. But through that despair, it brought salvation to the jailer and his family. And you know, as we look at this, the Lord uses different ways to wake people up, doesn't he? People who are in their sin and need salvation. Perhaps you've been in that situation and God has done something tremendous to wake you up. In 2019 to 2022, a pandemic roared across this world. We find, according to one particular group called worldometer.com, 695,145,190 people have died directly or indirectly because of COVID. COVID has passed, but there are earthquakes, there are floods, there's plagues around us in our world, and yet people are still asleep. They're just going about as if nothing ever happened. Did God speak through the COVID? I think he did. He was trying to show us something. He was trying to wake people up. But there's still people, and many people, who are still asleep. Still asleep. It continues after it happened. You know, my mind goes back to Pharaoh in the Old Testament. And God sent plagues into Egypt that Pharaoh eventually might let the people go. But you know, as you look at those plagues, what happens? And I'm not, I don't want to be alarmist here today. The first plague was, it was all right. The second plague was a little worse, and each plague got worse and worse and worse. Is it that God is speaking to this world? He sent awakening to us and to this world. And so people are still unheeding him. They're still rejecting him. Would it be that the next one that comes will be worse and then worse? I don't know. But what I do know is that through this sudden despair, it brought salvation to the jailer and his family. God has to wake people up, and sometimes he does it in a very, very real way. Now let's turn to Matthew 8 and 23. And now when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And suddenly, a great tempest arose on the sea. So the boat was covered with waves, but he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. But he said to them, Why are you fearful, O you little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, Who can this be? Even the winds and the sea obey him. It's been another busy day for Jesus. Many were healed, and he finally gave command to depart to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. As soon as he got into the boat, his disciples followed him, and they left the shore. They were content. They were happy, perhaps. But what do we read? But suddenly, a great tempest arose in the sea. Without warning, the boat was filled. Water in the trip was interrupted. The first story you read about this morning, there was a sudden dismay of the jailer. And brought salvation as he believed in his household and the Lord Jesus Christ. But here we find a sudden disruption. They're in the boat, they're probably singing, they're probably doing things. And suddenly this great tempest came along, this storm. The water began to get into the boat, and we find they came to Jesus and they said, Lord, save us, we are perishing. Jesus said, Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? He arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. There's a great tempest that day. There's a great storm. But there was a great calm. A great disruption that brought solace or peace, brought comfort or consolation to these disciples. But you know what I noticed about this? That while they were there in that storm, Jesus was already there. It said he was in the boat, but he was asleep, but he was already there. And I think of the hymn writer Buddha says, in our problems, in the tempests that come into our lives, he was already there. And in our lives as believers, remember that Jesus is always there. No matter what that disruption might be in our life, whether it be illness, whether it be maybe a car accident or other things, problems in our families and so forth, your life and mine, it's all going well. And then suddenly disruption comes, and suddenly a storm comes. Remember that Jesus is always there. I think what some first said in Psalm 46 and verse 1, God is our refuge, a very present help in time of need. We think of Deuteronomy, it says the eternal God is our refuge and underneath with everlasting arms. I think Psalm 23, it says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. For you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. And so we see not only dismay bringing salvation, but see disruption that brings solace or comfort or peace as the Lord himself draws near and he's with us. Isn't it that poem, Footsteps, isn't it called? I walk in and sees two sets of footsteps. And then suddenly he only sees one. I said, Lord, where were you? He said, I was carrying you at that time. Those footsteps are mine. And so in times of disruption in your life and mine, let's remember that the Lord is there and he's helping us. But sometimes our faith is weak, isn't it? Like those disciples, they were afraid until he woke up and he said, why are you fearful? And that's the encouragement that we have today. Then we turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. And then we read these words. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all the crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. And whose will those things be which you have provided? The context here, Jesus is talking. He said, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. This man had many crops, but there was a lack of storage. And he said to himself, soul, he said, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this night suddenly your soul will be required of you. And who shall those things be which you have provided? Sudden death. It's appointed unto man once to die, isn't it? But after this, the judgment. And so often, as we say in circumstances around us, you never know. You never know when death will come. Remember a preacher once saying, he says, you realize the next breath you have could be your last. I'm not alarming anyone, but this is fact, it's truth. At the end of August, a friend of ours in Niagara Falls, she went to bed one night and she never woke up. She died that night. There was no warning. It was sudden. And whether we're in good health or bad health, it's appointed unto once to die. And that is God's timing. This man, he said, I have lots to do. I have lots of goods to store, but I have a lack of storage. I've built some barns. And God said, you fool. This night, your soul will be required of you. Then who shall these things be which you have provided? And we have a sudden death. That brought what? It brought separation. Separation from his material goods. Separation from the world. Separation from his friends. Separation from his family. Separation of body and soul. And separation, perhaps, from God. Because in eternity, you and I will go to one of two places. As believers, we will go to heaven. As unbelievers, they will go to hell. Death brings separation. separation. And so we look to these stories today, we find sudden dismay that brought salvation, sudden disruption that brought solace or comfort to these disciples, and sudden death that brought separation. I return to something which perhaps is a little more encouraging for those of us who are believers. In John 14, 1-3, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he used actually an illustration of a Jewish wedding. A Jewish wedding, the bridegroom would leave after the engagement to prepare a home for his bride. And then, perhaps about a year later or so, he would return to receive his bride and take her home. At the edge of the town, we're told, he would stop. He'd make a great shout and a trumpet would sound. His return will be sudden and unannounced. That's a picture of the rapture. Jesus has gone home to heaven and he's preparing a place for you and me. And one day he will come back and, as it were, he'll stand at the edge of the universe in the air. And there'll be a great shout. We read about it, don't we, in 1 Thessalonians 13 and 17. In verse 51, rather, 1 Corinthians 15, it says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye at the last trump. The trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be all changed." In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, suddenly, without warning, Jesus will come back. We read in 1 Thessalonians, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For we say this by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who have gone asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord." A sudden departure, when all the saints of this earth will be gathered by the Lord himself. Those who are dead will be raised first, and then those of us who are alive will be caught up together with the Lord into the air. We shall be ever meet the Lord in the air. A sudden departure. But what do we see in this? We see that with that sudden departure, there is security for the believer. Twice I mentioned this. We find Jesus said in John 14, he says, "Where I am, there you may be also." 1 Thessalonians, it says, "Thus we shall always be with the Lord." A sudden departure that will bring security for you and I who are believers here today. So we have. What a wonderful story that is. But then we will go on. We find in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 3, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor's pain upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape." A sudden destruction. And here the Bible is speaking of a day which will come after the rapture, a day which is called the day of the Lord. And someone has said, Paul is explaining the nature of the day of the Lord, a reference to the time when God's judgment falls on an unbelieving world. The day of the Lord will catch unbelievers by surprise. They will think the world is experiencing peace and security, but sudden destruction will come upon them, just as labor pains grips a pregnant woman. Unbelievers will enjoy a false sense of peace and security at the beginning of the tribulation, but the peace and security will not last long. Unbelievers will not be able to avoid that horrific time. There will be no escape. He says the Greek word for escape here is a word which includes the concept of fleeing or escaping. According to this verse, such attempts will be futile. Sudden destruction. If the rapture comes and you're left behind, you will have to face this sudden destruction. Sudden destruction that will bring suffering forever and forever as God's wrath is placed upon this world. In 1 Thessalonians 1 and 10, it says that we who are believers, we wait for a Son from heaven, whom he raised from dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. We are believers here. We will be and have been delivered from that wrath. But the unbeliever, you will face that wrath in that day. One of the hurricanes that first came up the East Coast recently came across the Maritimes. And the Wednesday evening before the hurricane hit the Maritimes, the news report said the hurricane will make landfall on Saturday evening. It said, don't wait until then to be prepared. Don't wait until then. And my advice to you today, if you're not saved, is don't wait. Don't wait until that day, because you cannot escape. Today is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. And God says, come to me. Sudden despair that brought salvation. Sudden disruption that brought solace. Sudden death that brought separation. A sudden departure that will bring security. And a sudden destruction that will bring suffering for the unbeliever. But then the last one we look at, we read about it today in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, didn't we? We find there that angel came to the shepherds on the hillside that day. They said, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward all men. A sudden declaration. A sudden declaration that brought a Savior into the world. A Savior who, though he was equal with God, he took upon himself humanity, descended from heaven, walked among humanity, talked with boys and girls, men and women, healed many, even bring some back to life, and finally suffered death on an old rugged cross, as he took upon himself the iniquity of us all and bore the penalty for sin instead of us. 1 Timothy chapter 1:15, we know it so well, isn't it? This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. A sudden declaration that brought the Savior into the world. In the back of the bulletin for December, there's an article which is on the name of Jesus. Jesus, the salvation of God. One of the paragraphs says this, that Joseph was instructed to call his name Jesus, which means the salvation of God. He came to bring salvation from sin, promised in the Old Testament. He came to save us from the penalty of sin at salvation, the power of sin through the process of sanctification, and the presence of sin when we're with him in glory. He came to save sinners. He came to save you and to save me. But that declaration, they're sitting on the hillside, and the angel said, "Fear not." He said, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." In despair, in disruption, in death, he is the answer. He is the answer to assure you and me of departing with him in the rapture. And he is the answer that we will escape the destruction which will bring suffering, not only for time, but for eternity. Despair, disruption, and death comes to each one of us. And the Lord is the only person who can help us by bringing salvation into the world. The hymn writers put it like this: "Is what will you do with Jesus?" he calls in accents sweet, "and bid you lay your burdens down at the Savior's feet. Weary, one and lonely, who longs for rest in vain, to you he's tenderly calling. He calls and calls again. What will you do with Jesus, who died on Calvary's tree, who gave his precious lifeblood that you might be free from sin and condemnation, from fear of death and hell, and give you joy and gladness and grace his love to tell? What will you do with Jesus, this loving friend so true? He's waiting for your answer. How long must he wait for you? Oh, answer now this question. Your answer comes too late, and you alone forsaken must stand outside the gate." A sudden despair that brought salvation. A sudden disruption that brought solace. A sudden death that brought separation. A sudden departure that brings security. A sudden destruction that will bring suffering to unbelievers. And a sudden declaration that brought our Savior into the world. So we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful today that the Lord Jesus did come. And even though the celebration of his birth is a few weeks away for us, we thank thee we are reminded today that the Lord Jesus came into this world with a special purpose, and that it was to die for our sins. And the promise is, as Paul and Silas said, as the jailer came to them and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" The answer came back strong and true from the word of the Lord: "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved." Father, we just simply ask today that we who are believers can look that day when we shall depart and be with the Lord forever and ever. But if there is one in our sin service today, yet they have not accepted him, they must face that awful wrath and that awful judgment, which will not only be for time, but for eternity. May the Spirit of God work in their hearts. We indeed, Lord, are not able to save them, but the Spirit of God will come, convicting of sin, of righteousness, of judgment to come. And Father, bring them to that place called Calvary. There will we find a Savior who has died for them. Bless our time. Continue to be with us, we pray. We thank thee for the food which is downstairs, and pray you bless our time together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his glory alone.